بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. والله open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول ويتبع أحسنه. والله make us among those who listen to the admonition of what is being said and help us to follow the best of that advice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering of ours, to have weight on our scales on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us sincere in seeking Him. Ameen. So how has the winter break been for all of you?
Great.
Good.
Great.
So we took a vacation, but there is one thing that you can never take a vacation from, which is the ubudiya, the slavehood, or being an obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no vacation from that. So whenever we take our vacations, we should remember that even our vacation should be one with obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's obedience is not just for Jum'ahs or for Ramadan or in the masjid or at the time of Salah. It's for all times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind the believers. Remind the believers. He's telling us that believers can also forget. Remind them because a reminder is beneficial for them. So I take this opportunity, because we've had a long break, first to remind myself, because I need more than anyone else, and then to remind my dear brothers and sisters about why we gather for these gatherings. What is the purpose of this? Why are we gathering to study the Quran? Why are we learning? First thing I remind myself and remind all of you is we are learning to practice, to put everything we learn into practice, to internalize the information that's given to us, to actualize it in our lives, to lead our lives according to those teachings, and to develop those akhlaq, those internal characteristics that Allah demands from us, that Allah loves from us. We don't gather here with the primary goal of gathering information. Oh, I know this and I know that. We are not here as information gatherers, and we are not here to learn, to share and teach others. I need to first teach myself. Wallahi, I'm not coming here to teach you. I'm coming here to learn. Whatever I study, whatever I share with you, as Allah makes me able to, I am the most needy to put that into my practice. And I have to, and you have to, constantly remind yourself of that. We are not learning to look learned. We are not learning for the sake of learning. We are not learning to be scholarly. We are not learning to debate with people in social gatherings. We are not learning for titles. We are not learning for recognition. The only one who should recognize us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If everyone gives us all kinds of accolades and degrees and PhDs and alim and so on, so, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His scale finds us at zero, all of that is null and void. So this is very, very important, that that's what we are here for. Because the danger of learning, and we see it all the time, the more learned a person becomes, if they're not keeping this within this envelope of why I am doing it, it gives them arrogance. One of the most learned was Iblis. He knew Allah. Where did he end up? That learning made him arrogant, that I know, I am better. And sometimes we may learn something here and you're talking to someone and they don't know. Never let that thought come into your mind that, oh, this person doesn't know and I know. Okay? Never let that become a means of arrogance, because it is only a delusion. There is always someone who knows more. And sometimes people learn to show ostentation. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us in a hadith that anyone who learns to show people, to have a rank, and to argue with people to show their knowledge will be in Jahannam, something to that effect. So we should keep that in mind. So sometimes as we are learning, we get into the details, we forget the balance between information and action. That we have to act, the balance, and that what we learn, we have to look within ourselves, am I benefiting from this knowledge? And the benefit of this knowledge is that knowledge should take you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the dua, he used to say, Allahumma, اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا. Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. What is beneficial? One that takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge that increases your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge that increases your fear and awareness and reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge that makes you more obedient. Knowledge that makes you a more law-abiding citizen on the earth of Allah. Abiding by the laws of Allah. That is what we are striving for. And with the practice of that knowledge, there is adab, manners, how we treat that knowledge, how we treat each other, how we treat our teachers, how we treat our youngsters, how we treat our elders. It's all part of that knowledge. How we treat those sources of knowledge, the ultimate one of which is the words of Allah. What, when we even say the word Quran, does it do anything in my heart, or is it just a word? It's a name. When I take the name Allah, does it make something quiver in my heart? It makes me, Allah is watching. He is my creator. So we have to always remember that there is a certain adab, and that knowledge was sent to us to develop a beautiful internal characteristic. Ahsanul akhlaq. That is what we are here for, to show that our insides are beautiful. We always focus on our outsides. We look in the mirror, we want to look good, which is all fine. But more beautiful than that is internal beauty. There are many beautiful people in the world. Allah made them on the outside, but totally corrupt and bankrupt on the inside. That's where the effort has to be made by us. So our goal must always be that I need to reform, that I need to rectify myself, that I need to improve. If I'm attending halaqa after halaqa after halaqa, and there is no change in nobody sees a change, a positive change, then there is something missing. I'm missing the boat. I need to look within, what is my niyyah? You know, am I a serious person, not just attending for the sake of social gathering. So that is a constant reminder for ourselves. I remind myself that I need to reform. My deen is about akhlaq, about character, to improve, to embellish myself with characteristics that Allah loves. If I'm impatient, I should be becoming patient. If I'm miserly, I should be becoming generous. You know, if I get angry easily, I should be one who becomes calm and less restless. If I'm careless, I should become caring. You know, if I'm heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of others, I should become heedful. If I love to be the head of everything, then I should become one who loves to serve others rather than leader. So these are the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. These are the qualities for which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to us, because this is what we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no question about that. And He is not going to ask you how much wealth you left behind, what you left behind, what properties. That was for here. What we will meet Him with is, what was your heart like? What was your character like? What was your deeds like? What was your ibadah, your acts of worship like? What was the quality of your salah? How was your psalm? How was your hospitality? How did you smile in the face? How was your tongue? Were people safe from the fruit of your tongue? And so on and so forth. How were your financial dealings? These are the things for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His kalam, which we are studying, and sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we may develop the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with. And we must make ourselves aware of this fact every single day and at all times, which means that we have to improve the quality of our awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We call it taqwa. We are always aware of Allah. Just like He always knows us, how can we forget the one who always sees us and hears us? So be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one way of helping with that is constantly being in dhikr. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, astaghfirullah. All of those when we are driving, when we are sitting alone, you know, even when you are forced to watch TV, you could be doing istighfar inside. So if you're constantly in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're aware of Him. And will we have lapses where we are busy with other things and get distracted? Yes. The moment you realize that that happened, immediately go back, say, astaghfirullah, ya Allah, I spent the last 2 hours without your awareness of you, without remembering you, forgive me. And no matter how many times we fall and make mistakes, we keep going back, because Allah's mercy and His forgiveness is infinite. Don't ever think that I have done so poorly that there's no hope for me. There is always hope, because even if we fill the space between the earth and the heavens with our sinfulness, but we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance, He will meet us with greater forgiveness than what we have gathered of sinfulness. So said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And life is meant to be full of challenges. You know, there's going to be challenges, whether it's in health, whether it's in wealth, whether it's in other things, oppression, and opportunities. Challenges and opportunities. And a believer should turn every challenge, every difficulty into an opportunity. How I react in this challenge is an opportunity for me to make my akhirah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not complain. If I'm sick, I should make that into something positive. So everything we have to remember that we are constantly being challenged. And these are tests for us, to distract us, to see how committed I am. What is my resolve? How consistent am I in my deen? That's where we sometimes are not very focused, you know. Some days we do, you know, on and off, on and off. If we look at our daily affairs, how often is it that if you have a profession, say, well, today I'll go to work, tomorrow I won't go to work. It doesn't happen. We are so committed to our jobs, to our professions, to our businesses. Well, this is a business with Allah. So we have to remember that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He talks about the believers, the most frequently recited phrase, if you say, is when He talks about rewards and His pleasure, He says, Amanu walladina amanu wa amelu salihat. Amanu means those who believe. Amal means action. Salihat means beautiful, righteous deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all His promise. Inna ladina amanu amelu salihat lahum jannatul firdaus nuzula. For example, that people of faith and righteous deeds, for them there is Jannatul Firdaus. So everywhere in the Quran, hundreds of places, he says, Amanu wa amilu salihat. He has paired these two things together. Iman with righteous actions, with deeds. Okay? He does not say that Jannah and my promises are for Amanu wa alimu salihat. Alimu salihat means those who know good deeds. We know salah is good, but we don't do it. We know telling truth is good, but we don't do it. We know generosity is good. Allah never says that. He says, it is implied that amal salihat, good deeds, will require the knowledge to know how to do it. So he has integrated knowledge into the deed. But the purpose of that knowledge is to act on it. Otherwise, it's empty information. So always remember that we have to be watching our action, that the ilm, the knowledge that we acquire here, is an intermediate step. Ultimately, the fruit of this is what Allah is looking for, which is amal or action. You know, for example, if you grow a fruit tree, apple tree, how many of you would like to grow an apple tree and never see an apple come on it? So I have an apple tree. Why do we grow it? Because we want the fruit. In fact, the tree is named after the fruit. Right? After the fruit. So we have to remember that the knowledge is a means. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see the fruit of this knowledge. And that's why we gather here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summarized in a few words his entire mission. He says, "Innama buistu liutammima makarim al-akhlaq." I have only been sent to complete the perfect akhlaq, character, conduct, actions, manners, for the perfection of that. That's what I have been sent. All of what Allah wants us to do is that, and that akhlaq includes ibadah, because our akhlaq with Allah is to worship Him. That's our akhlaq. Our akhlaq with each other is not one of worship, but of fair and just treatment, of kindness, of love and sharing and all of that. So just remember that when we see people, sometimes we always like to compete and look up to people. Don't compete with people who have more of some material thing. That's Allah. If you see someone who has a better character than you, that's the one to look up to. That I never seen this person ever to lie. Why can't I be like that? I see this person always so generous. Why can't I be like this? I see this person so compassionate, always caring himself. Why can't I be? So we should look up to people of good character. And those, now that also comes with ilm, they have knowledge. But if you just see someone who has a lot of knowledge, there is no wow about it if you don't see that knowledge in action in that person. Okay. Because some of the greatest so-called scholars in the academic sense are not even Muslims today. They know more of tafasir, and they know more of when what came down and what happened in Islamic history, which hadith was narrated by who. They can give you all of that, but they don't even believe. So remember that's what we are looking for. Not people who claim scholarship. I want to see it in action. There are many examples of this. I think this particular one is about Al-Junayd. Some of you may have heard of Al-Junayd al-Baghdadi, the great ascetic scholar of Baghdad, well known in his time, and he had his ashab, his companions. One time they heard that a great scholar of the time had come. So they said, let's go and pay respects to him. So Al-Junayd with his companions went there, and he was sitting in a large gathering of people. And as they came close, people started to move because they saw, look, who's coming? And then Al-Junayd turned around and came back without even meeting the person. And his companions were sort of in a state of shock. We came all this way to meet this scholar, and our Sayyid, our leader, didn't even meet him. But out of adab, they didn't say anything, so they came back. Then someone got the guts to say, Ya Sayyidi, why didn't we see him? So he kept quiet. Then he said, did you see that he spit in the direction of the Qibla? So what are we going to learn from someone like that? Action, that adab. That this person is not aware of his surroundings, not aware of the Qibla, not aware of the adab that's required. So this is what we are looking for, actions. Okay. One time you've probably all heard of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, one of the great four imams. He was the greatest scholar of his time, the greatest of imams of his time, with most knowledge, the greatest defender of the Sunnah. He was put in prison and lashed for years. He was in prison for 10 years defending Islam, the greatest scholar of his time, the greatest imam on the earth probably at that time. So some of his companions one day, who were big on knowledge and information, talked to him about someone else who was a very humble person by the name of Bishr al-Hafi. He was not known for his scholarship. He was a very simple, zahid, sort of ascetic person, always in ibadah and, you know, known not to indulge in anything wrong. So one of his companions said, Ya Imam, what do you think of the knowledge of Bishr al-Hafi? Sort of trying to put him down. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiallahu anhu, he just, instead of saying anything, he recited one ayah of the Quran, which says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى, which means, indeed, truly, those are the ulama, the scholars, who have the khashya, the awe and reverence of Allah in their hearts. In other words, you may have more knowledge than Bishr al-Hafi, but do you know, can you see in his actions how much reverence he has for Allah? In other words, there is no comparison. So don't look down on people just because you know more. It's the actions. So those are some of the reminders that we are here to learn, to lead us to love Allah, to fear Allah, to humble ourselves before Him, and to have reverence for Him. And we should always keep that lens and focus of whatever we learn. Today we are going to learn some of another early surah that we are going to start. How can I apply this in my life? And that's what we need to do. So, sorry for this long introduction. But because of the long break, I thought it was necessary to remind myself and remind each other. So our scheduled surah for today is the surah number 111, which is towards the end, which is called Al-Masad, also known as Al-Lahab. Okay, and I'm sure all of our youngsters probably know, and that's why I recited it in the Isha Salah. Okay. If you don't know, you will learn by in 2 weeks, inshallah. Otherwise, we'll hold your mother accountable. So this is a surah which is one of the early Meccan surahs revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is an occasion of revelation. Many of you may know about it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed after the initial revelation, there was a gap, and then He was ordered to start conveying the message and to His family. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah which says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your near and dear relatives, those who are close to you. So the Prophet ﷺ gathered all the Quraysh, because they are related to each other. He gathered them in a place called Al-Imbatha, which is a sort of a plain with a little mountain. And he call them that all of you have to come. And the way he would call is Ya Sabaha, which means people come at once. Like it, if it's an emergency, they call you. Just like we had an emergency alert today because of an amber alert during Salah. This was like an amber alert of the time. Everyone come. So everybody left whatever they were doing and they came. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam climbed up on this mountain a little bit so that everybody could see him. And he said, oh so-and-so, oh so-and-so, oh so-and-so. If I were to tell you that there is an enemy behind this mountain that's drawing near and that will attack you tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening, will you believe me? Guess what they all said? Absolutely. Because he was Al-Amin, the most truthful, never known to lie. He said, if you were to say there's an enemy that's behind you, that's yes, we would believe you. So after establishing his credentials with them, that okay, I tell the truth, he said, well then, listen to me. فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. Therefore, I warn you of Allah's punishment that is near. In other words, if you do not give up what you're doing and come to Tawheed, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to accept the message that I'm giving you of Tawheed, then Allah's punishment and His torment is very close. The moment he said this, his paternal uncle, whose name was Abu Lahab, whose actual name was Abdul Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib, he said, he became very angry. He said, Tabballak. This is what you have called us for. Tabballak is a curse, telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine telling the Prophet, Tabballak, may you be destroyed. May you perish. I mean, that's such a serious thing to say. And he stomped off. And in some other narration, he stood up where he was sitting down, shaking his head. He said, damn you all day long. Tabballak, kulla yawm.